as they prepared to do so, here in Numbers chapter 6, God gave them a beautiful expression of his desire to bless them as they prepared to go enter into his promised land that he had assured to them. And I want you to see what the Lord tells us here at the end of Numbers chapter 6, and look with me at verse number 22. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them." And let's read the next three verses out loud together. "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." And for a few moments, I'd like to park on this passage of Scripture and discover the riches in the fact that God does still desire to bless his people. We're going to see just how as we study this text together. Let's pray and ask for the Lord to speak to our heart. Lord, we come before you this morning as our Father, and we are grateful for the opportunity to be able to open the Scriptures today. Right now, I pray that you would still our hearts and our minds, and open our hearts and minds to receive the truth of your word. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would just use me as your mouthpiece to speak your word. Encourage the hearts of your people. And this can be a difficult world to live in, but I'm so thankful we are not alone, and that you love us, and that you put up with us, and that you care for us, and you desire to bless us. And I pray that we would leave this place filled with encouragement and filled with the hope of this promise that you've given to us in your word. And I pray, God, that you would use this in the heart of those especially who do not know you as their Savior yet. I pray that you would use this good word of the gospel tucked into this passage of Scripture to help them understand their need to forsake their own way and to trust in you as their Lord and Savior today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God desires to bless his people, and he wants you to know all about it. He wants you to understand the blessing that he desires to give to you. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 and verse 3 that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it is the desire of God that you would experience the fullness of this blessing that he wants to bring into your life. And it's very sad and very true that it's so easy for us to lose sight of just how blessed we are by the Lord. A story is told about a woman who her husband had just had a major heart surgery, and she was a little nervous about attending to her husband. And because after he had had this heart surgery, a lawyer had called her to inform her that he had just inherited $1 million. And she was nervous about how to tell him this without giving him heart trouble. I mean, that's pretty good news for anybody, right? And so she decided to go to her pastor. She went to the pastor and said, "Pastor, here's what's happened. He's just had heart surgery. I don't know how to break it to him. So, Pastor, I want for you to tell him this great news because I think you'll do a better job of it than I will." So the pastor went and met with him. His name was Joe. And when he sat down to talk to Joe, he asked Joe a simple question. He said, "Joe, if you were to get $1 million, what would you do with it?" Joe thought about it, and he said, "You know, Pastor, I think I'd give it to the church." And then the pastor died of a heart attack, okay? But you know, if you truly were to realize just how much it is that God has blessed you, it might give you a heart attack too. I mean, it is incredible to consider how immensely blessed we truly are of the Lord. And so have you realized just how good God has been to you? Have you realized just how blessed you are by the Lord? In the text of Scripture we're looking at here, God communicates exactly how he desires to bless his people. He makes it to where it is no uncertainty to us how God wants to bless us. And though this blessing was in context given directly to the people of Israel, the chosen people of God of the Old Testament, I believe that it is a word of blessing that still relates to all of the people of God today. And I believe this is a word for you, and this is a word for me. And so in this text of Scripture, I want you to notice four aspects of this blessing that God desires to give to his people. And the first aspect you can write down is this. Note with me the source of the blessing. The source of the blessing. Now, great emphasis is laid from the beginning of this text upon the one from whom this blessing comes. Notice with me at the beginning of the text, in verse 22, the Bible says, "And who spake? The Lord spake unto Moses." You go on to verse 24. It says, "The Lord bless thee." Verse 25, "The Lord make his face to shine upon thee." Verse 26, "The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee." Over and over again, what is made very apparent is that this blessing comes from the Lord. It comes from God. Listen to me. Though it was Aaron who spoke the word of blessing, the blessing came from God and God alone. We understand from the scriptures that the Bible teaches us that it is from God that every blessing we have in our life comes. The Bible says in James 1, verse 17, that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And every good thing you have in your life is a gift from God. And you ought to never forget that fact right there. And so the source of this blessing is the Lord. But let's just pause a minute and consider that name for God used here in Numbers chapter 6. The Lord, if you're using a King James Bible, it's a capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D. You see it there? Whenever that word, Lord, was put into the scriptures, it was translated from the Hebrew name for God, Yahweh, or some would say Jehovah. I think we have a picture of how the letters look in English for that Hebrew word. There were no vowels in this Hebrew word. This was the name for God that God revealed for himself to Moses all the way at the burning bush when he said, "I am that I am." This is Yahweh. This is Jehovah. But in our King James Bible, and many some of you that may have another version, it may say Lord as well, although not in all caps. The reason they put the name Lord there is because the Jewish people in the Old Testament were so afraid that they were going to take God's name in vain that they stopped translating the official name of God into the scriptures, and instead they put the Hebrew word Adonai, which in English means Lord, and that's where they would put it. But in your Bible, the distinguishing mark to when the Lord's name is used, Yahweh, is when the name for the Lord is used in all caps. And a very interesting thing, but it is the name that God gave for himself, for his people to call him, Yahweh, Jehovah, this is the Lord. It is a name that means the existing one. He told Moses in Exodus 3, "I am that I am." And when we say Yahweh, we're speaking of the self-existing one. We're speaking of the one true God of the universe. Listen, he is the creator God. He is the one who by him were all things created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The creator God who is infinite in power. God stepped out of nowhere onto nothing and spoke everything into existence. This is Yahweh. This is our God. Not only is he creator God, but we see that he is the eternal God of whom Revelation tells us he's the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. He is not confined by the limitations of space or time. He is everywhere at the same time in all times. This is our God, Yahweh. Not only is he eternal God, but he is the omnipotent God. He is all powerful. He's a God with whom nothing shall be impossible. He is not limited in power. He can do anything that it is that he wants to do. He is all powerful. This is Yahweh, our God. And I want you to understand this morning, when it comes to the source of this blessing, it comes from the one person in the universe who has the ability and who has the resources to provide such a blessing to his people. It is our God from whom all blessings flow. That's why we sing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." This is the source of our blessing, a God who is all-powerful. Spurgeon said, "There can be no limit to the goodwill of the infinite God. Our gifts are like a handful of pennies, but God's gifts are so rich that I dare not even liken them to things like silver and gold." You cannot put a price tag on the blessings of God. They are innumerable. They are incredible. This is the source of our blessing. So number one, we see the source of this blessing. And I want you to understand something. God is more than able to bless your life today. He's Almighty God. The source of the blessing. Number two, I want you to see the sharing of the blessing. The sharing of the blessing. As we continue on in our text, notice what verse 22 and 23 tell us again. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them." Now let's just pause right there and consider what's happening here. All of this was taking place under the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, under the old promises that God had given to his people. And during that time period, it was necessary for God's word, God's blessings to be communicated through the Levitical priests. And so the Bible, God tells Moses to tell Aaron to communicate this message to God's people. Well, who was Aaron? Well, Aaron was the first high priest, the first man that God had appointed to be a mediator between himself and the rest of humanity in the Old Testament. And so here's the high priest Aaron and Aaron's sons, the future high priest of Israel. And it was only through these men in the, under the old covenant that God would share his blessings with his people. And a Jewish tradition tells us, although it cannot be known for certain, but Jewish tradition tells us that this blessing that God told Aaron to place upon the people was given at the close of the daily sacrifice every morning. So every morning, the lamb was slain on the altar, and then Aaron would go out and stand in front of the people, and he would bless the people, saying these words, this blessing of God upon his people. And in your notes, Leviticus chapter 9, and verse 22 and 23 tell us of the first time Aaron gave this blessing, I believe. The Bible says in Leviticus 9, 22, that Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them and came down from offering. It goes on to say, "And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people." Now, what an incredible moment that must have been when Aaron, as a mouthpiece for God, first stood in front of the people of God and gave this blessing. "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." Can you imagine, as the Shekinah glory of God comes down with his own presence, he confirmed the blessing upon his people. What a powerful moment that must have been for the people of God. So this blessing became a divinely appointed practice of worship. We could even call it a liturgy of their worship. Every day, as a sacrifice was given, they would then, after the sacrifice, the high priest would stand and give God's blessing upon his people. And this served as a daily, continual reminder of God's desire to bless his people. And it's interesting, though this blessing came from the mouth of Aaron, it came from the heart of God. This was not Aaron's blessing upon the people. This was God's blessing upon the people. And it was offered up in the form of an intercessory prayer from the high priest for the people. He literally prayed this blessing over God's people in that Old Testament time period. And understand this, this blessing was not for a select group of people. It was for all the people of God. Didn't matter their race, their social status, their creed, their title, their rank, their gender, any of those things. God desired to give this blessing on all of his people, and he wanted it to be known to all of them. And so that's how this blessing was given under the old covenant. But listen, we're not living in the Old Testament anymore, are we? We're living in the New Testament. And I'm going to tell you something, it's even better for us today. Under the New Testament, God has now appointed a great high priest to bless his people, who is far greater than Aaron or any of his sons ever hoped to be. Our great high priest is Jesus Christ himself. And the Bible says in Hebrews 4 and verse 14 that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, and it's Jesus, the Son of God. Listen, no longer do we have to go to a building to have a sinful man tell us God's blessing upon our life, because God has now communicates his richest blessings on our life through his own Son, Jesus Christ. Now look down at your notes. It's Ephesians 1 and verse 3. This might be a good verse for you to memorize this week. Ephesians 1 verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." In who? in Christ Jesus communicates to us the blessing of God. You see, now, listen to me, through Jesus, you and I can come boldly right before the throne of God anytime that we need to receive this blessing from the Lord. Hebrews 4 and verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly into his throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And it's a blessing to my heart to think that as I come before God in prayer, Jesus, my great high priest, right now is standing in heaven praying God's blessing on my life, on my behalf. He is an interceder on my behalf and on the behalf of every single child of God. Hebrews 7 and verse number 25 says that he ever lives to intercede on the behalf of the people of God. And so I say to you this morning, if you are a child of God, you can take comfort. I don't care how good of a week you think you had or how bad of a week you've had this past week. I don't care how good you think you're doing in your spiritual life or how terrible you think you're doing in your spiritual life today. You can take comfort in the fact that you do not receive this blessing because you deserve it, but because God in his grace bestows it on you in answer to the prayer of Jesus for you. You could never deserve it. You could never earn it. That's why it's called grace. And thank God, Jesus, in his grace, is praying God's blessing on the life of all of his people right now. It's an incredible truth. By the way, as believers, the Bible also teaches that we become a type of priest before God. We don't have to offer up sacrifices anymore in the sense of animals, but we can come right before God in prayer anytime that we desire. And as believer priests, As extensions of the very ministry of Jesus Christ, it is God's desire that we not only enjoy the blessing that God is giving to us, but that we seek to share the blessing of God with all the people that we can so that they can know just how much God desires to bless their lives if they will trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. So we see the source of this blessing. It's Almighty God. We see the sharing of this blessing through the great high priestly ministry of Jesus Christ. But number three, I want you to notice with me the substance of the blessing. The substance of the blessing. Read again with me out loud verses 24 through 26. Such a wonderful truth. Let's read it together. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Now to me, I love studying the technical details of the Bible, and the structure of this particular blessing is remarkably beautiful. There is a gradual crescendo, if you understand music and the words here. It starts with God's blessing upon your life, and it continues to grow and grow until you experience the most incredible peace that can only be found in a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's being described in this blessing of God listed for us here. And there's three distinct parts. At the beginning of each verse, we see the name of the Lord is mentioned three different times. And this reminds us of how the ministry of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the triunity of God, are all involved with administering God's richest blessing on the life of his people. God the Father is first seen as the cause of this blessing. Verse 24, God the Son is seen as the channel of the blessing. And then God the Spirit is seen as the communicator of this blessing to the heart of God's people. It's a beautiful picture, lots of symmetry in this blessing from the Lord on his people. And I find it interesting that in the New Testament, there is a verse that correlates with this Old Testament blessing. I don't have time to go there, but I think it's interesting. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13 and verse 14, it's in your notes. If you see it there in your notes, why don't you read it out loud with me? It says this, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. We see all of God involved in administering this blessing to his people. As we turn our attention to verses 24 through 26, the actual words of this blessing, what we see are six phrases. We could say six ways that God desires to give his blessing to his people. I want to give these to you very quickly. And let's not miss the wonder of each one of these. The first one we see is that God benefits you. God benefits you. Say that out loud with me. God benefits you. So we look at the beginning of verse 24. The Bible says, "The Lord bless thee." That word bless, it comes from the Hebrew barak. And it carries the idea of literally kneeling down. Of course, when we bless the Lord, we kneel down in praise to the Lord. But when God blesses us, that's not exactly what takes place. God is not praising us. But the idea of kneeling down still carries true, because this is a picture of how God bends down to us in our low estate to benefit us. Think of how God's Son came into this earth. And one of the greatest pictures of God's care for us was when Jesus himself knelt down and he washed his disciples' feet. I'm going to tell you something. Every time God does something for you in your life, he's not reach up to help you. He reaches down to help you. He reaches down to bless you. Every breath that you breathe, every penny in your bank account, listen, your health, the family God has blessed you with, the church family God has blessed you with. We could go on and on down the line. God has blessed every one of us immeasurably. And this is the first part of his blessing. He desires to benefit our lives. And we will never be able to count up all the ways that God has benefited us. Psalm 103 in verse number 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." There are great benefits to being one of the people of God, to being a child of God. God benefits you. The second thing I see here is that God protects you. God protects you. As the verse 24 goes on, the Bible goes on to say that the Lord keep thee. The Lord keep thee. The word keep here is the Hebrew word shamar. It means literally to watch over or to protect or to preserve someone from harm. You know, God's people, as God's people, what we are blessed with is the assurance that God will look after us, that God will protect us. Look in your notes at Psalm 121. Beautiful. The whole chapter is wonderful about God's protection. I'll read snippets of it. Verse 2 says, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not slumber he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber." Verse 7 says, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forever." God has promised to protect his people. Ira Sankey was a song leader from years gone by, who is very well known for his song leading and many evangelistic campaigns. And it's said that he was on a steamboat traveling down the Delaware River, some people recognized who he was, and they asked him to sing for them. And so he began to sing, "Savior, like a shepherd, lead us," and began to sing that song. And as he began to sing that song, and when he was done singing the song, a man stepped forward from the shadows, and he recognized Sankey's voice, although he had never seen Sankey before. And he asked Sankey if he had served in the Civil War. And when he said he had served in the Civil War for the North, the man informed him, I recognized that voice. He said, "There was a cold night in 1862 when I heard that voice singing. And there was a man on the opposite side whose voice was singing those words, and I was about to kill him. I was about to take his life. But I heard him singing that exact same song that you just sung. And when I heard the words of that song, I thought, well, I'll let him finish the song and then I'll kill him." But as he sang the song, there's a part of that hymn, if you know the hymn, that actually talks about the protection of God over his people. And the Holy Spirit of God spoke to the heart of that man, even though he was lost at the time, I believe. And he realized, I cannot kill this man. If God can allow a message like that to come forth from him in the middle of this battle, then I'm not going to take his life. And so he passed, and he didn't shoot Sankey at that time. And that serves as a beautiful story to me. Oftentimes, in ways we don't even realize, in ways on this side of eternity, we may never even know. God protects his people. God protects his people. And you know what? One of God's rich blessings on the life of his people is that we can rest in the assurance that God's got us. God will take care of us. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Thank God for this blessing. God benefits you. God protects you. A third aspect of God's blessing on your life is this: God smiles at you. God smiles at you. As we go on to verse 25, the Bible says, "The Lord make his face shine upon thee." The Lord make his face shine upon thee. Now, the word shine here is not one that we often use in our modern English vernacular, but the word shine, one translation of it would be literally be to light up, to shine, to light up. And obviously, the picture that is being presented to us here is of a face lighting up with a smile. That's what's being talked about here. And so the blessing of God includes the fact that when he looks at you, he smiles. Now, there is only one, this is probably not exactly true. That is more than one, but there is one particular child in our church right now that when I look at her, she does not smile at me. All right? And I am bound and determined one day I'm going to look at that girl and she is going to smile at me. Now, it's not one of my own kids. I'll tell you that right now, okay? It's one of y'all's kids. But I no matter what I do, I can try to be goofy. I can try to do all kinds of things. She'll either look mad at me or she'll look at me like, "You are the craziest person I have ever seen in my life." All right? And it's going to be a good day in my life when that little girl looks at me and she smiles. All right? There's just something about it. When you look at someone and they smile, a smile communicates relationship. A smile communicates favor. And it's an incredible, incredible thought that when God looks at us, he's not sitting up in heaven going, "Really? Again? How many times have I told you not to do this?" When God looks at you, God's smiling. You're his child. He loves you. He cares about you. That's what's being communicated here. And I will say the only reason that God can look at you and smile is not because of you. It's because of what Jesus has done for you. He has made you, as Ephesians 1 and verse number 6 says, accepted in the beloved. Because of Jesus dying for your sins and cleansing you, the Bible says that when God looks at you, he can look at you now with a smile. And it is a blessing to know that we are in the favor of God. So we see God benefits you. We see God protects you. We see God smiles at you. But a fourth thing I see is that God favors you. Write that down next. God favors you. The end of verse 25 says, "The Lord be gracious unto thee." The Lord be gracious unto thee. That phrase, "be gracious," literally means to show favor, to pity, or to be merciful to someone. Now, as I was studying this week, I thought about a person in my life who I see showing the most mercy. And there was a time when I certainly would have said it was my mom, definitely. But I see it every day now with my wife and our five kids, all right? And it does not matter how often they make the same mess, how often they do the same thing that she's told them 100 times not to do, all right? Doesn't matter how often these things happen, time and time again, I walk back into that house and I see a mom showing a lot of pity, a lot of mercy to her children. Now, a lot of times I'm facing the same circumstances, and when the kids come in crying to me, my tendency is to want to say, "Rub some dirt on it, all right? Get over it. Build a bridge. Get over it," right? We've all said those things to our kids before too. But I've just reminded of how merciful mothers in particular can be. And I say God is infinitely much more merciful than you and I could ever hope to be. Ephesians 2 says he is rich in mercy. He is wealthy in mercy. He has a super abundance of mercies. And it is one of this life's greatest blessings that we know that when we look to God, he is so patient with us. Let me read you a verse of scripture. Psalm 103 and verse 8 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." Verse 13 says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." Thank God for his mercy. A fifth aspect of God's blessing here is that God cares for you. God cares for you. Verse 26 begins with saying these words, "The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee." The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. Now, the words in this passage of scripture, the word in verse number 25, face, and the word countenance are the exact same Hebrew word. It all speaks of the facial expression of God. But here, what is interesting is what is different about how God's looking at you. Earlier, we saw how when God looks at you, he smiles. But here the Bible says that God is lifting up his countenance towards you. Literally, it's talking about how God is looking up at you. Now here's a question. How can God, who is in heaven, look up at you and I, who are lowly and down on this earth? And this phrase is actually a beautiful picture. I'll tell you what it pictures, all right? I thought about keeping Jack in here to demonstrate this for you, but he would have been more distracting than the demonstration was worth, okay? But what it pictures is of a parent taking their child and raising them above their head. Now, we've all done that with our young children. There comes a point when you realize you can't do it anymore. I'm beginning to learn that, okay? But a father or a mother holding up their child above them, and boy, when you hold your child above you and there's that smile and there's that affection, they look down at the face of their parent and their parent looks up at them, and that is a beautiful moment for all families. The picture is of God doing that for you. God cares for you so much. He expresses his favor so much that like his own child, he desires to pick you up and let you know that you are his. Let you know how pleased he is that you are one of his people, that you are one of his children. Now, I was that kid when I was young. All my dad had to do was look at me the wrong way, and I'd break down. How many of you were like me? You were that kid, all right? Some of you, that was not the case with you. You were hard as a rock, all right? Some of you are raising your hand for that. All right. I'll see you at the altar in a minute. I'm just kidding. But boy, all my dad would have to look at me the wrong way and I'd break down. But at the same time, all my dad had to do was look at me the right way and I'd feel like $1 million. I remember I would sing a song or I would play basketball and I didn't care if anybody else was looking at me. If I looked over and dad was looking at me, I was okay. I'm so thankful for the fact that when we look to God, we're looking to the face of someone who is pleased with his children, who loves his children, who cares for his children. And as 1 Peter 5:7 says, you can cast all your care upon him because he does care for you. A sixth aspect I see of this blessing is that God completes you. God completes you. The end of verse number 26 says, the Lord give thee what? Peace. Man, what a powerful word. The Lord wants to give you another blessing here. He wants to give you peace. Now, I'll say this morning. This peace the Bible speaks of can only be possible through a right relationship to God through Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. You look in your notes at Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, before you got saved, you could have no peace. Isaiah 48:22 says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. You could not have peace before you knew Christ because you were at war with God. You were at odds with God. Your way was opposed to God's way. But the moment you realized you were a sinner before a holy God and that he loved you enough to send his son to die on a cross for you and shed his blood, and you trusted in Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin and be your Lord and Savior, that moment, the Bible says you were given the peace of God through your relationship to Jesus Christ. And that's how we can experience this incredible peace. Now we know that when God looks at us, he looks at us with his favor. Now Spurgeon said, a look of approval from God creates a deep, delightful calm within the human soul. And I'll say about this peace that it's a peace that transcends your circumstances. Everything may not be going well in your life, and yet you can still be at peace. The Bible says that it's a peace that passes understanding. It often doesn't make sense. How can your world be falling apart, and yet you still have peace? You can have peace when you have Christ, because you know everything's going to be okay. He is our safe place. This is who our God is for us. And Philippians 4:7 says that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, oftentimes I see people quote this blessing from number 6, and they use it to refer to material blessings. Well, God just wants to give you health, wealth, and prosperity. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not teaching health, wealth, and prosperity. As children of God, we will go through difficulty. And the blessings we think we want and need, sometimes God doesn't provide, but God does take care of his people. But don't limit the scope of this blessing to make it all about material things. This is a spiritual blessing. This is a blessing of having a right relationship with God. This is a blessing of having a God who cares for you, who holds you in His hands, who protects you, who smiles at you, who loves you. This is the greatest blessing that you and I can experience as humanity. It's a spiritual blessing. And I'll say this, it's also a very personal blessing. Before we move on to the last thing here, I want to lay notice to the fact that the Bible uses a particular pronoun here. In the King James, the Bible says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. Now, a lot of times I have people say, well, I don't like all the these and thous of the Bible. Well, I'll tell you, there's one of the reasons why we keep them in there is because they express things in English that modernized English does not do. The word thee is in the singular. And that is very significant because this blessing is given not collectively to merely all the people of God, but it's given to all the people of God individually. In other words, this is a blessing from God you can take home with you today. God's not just saying, I want to bless all of you. No, He's saying, I want to bless you along with all the rest of you. He wants to bless your life. He wants to bring this blessing upon your life today. And it's a promise that you can bring home and take to the bank that God wants to do it for you. So we see the substance of this blessing. And I hope as you've heard this that you've been encouraged to be reminded of all that God wants to do on your behalf. He wants you to take advantage of these blessings that He desires to pour out on your life. Now to end things off, the final verse of our text, I want you to notice with me, number 4, the security of the blessing. The security of the blessing. Now, some of you have been hearing me preach for too long, and I see couples smile at each other, okay? Because you're trying to guess what the last point's going to be. All right? So I just got to know, how many of you got it right? I'm just kidding with you. All right? The security of the blessing. See, in the last verse of this text, we see that this blessing is secured by two indisputable facts. Notice the beginning of verse 27. The Bible says, "And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel." Here we see that it is first off secured by the acceptance of God. It is secured by the acceptance of God. You see, the people of God here are referred to as being those who are called by the name of God. Now, I've had 5 children, and it is a blessing when we had each kid to be able to choose a name. And many of you have heard the story before. Emily got to name all the girls. So if you wonder where my sermons come from, just look at my kids, Hattie, Hazel, Holly, and Harper. Obviously, I alliterate, and she's my inspiration, okay? But we have all of the 4 girls, and then I named the last one, Jack, we named him, all right? And but you know what? We didn't just give them a first name. When those children were born, I put my name on them, Burkett. They're my children, and I'm proud to say they're my children. I put my approval on them. I put my security upon them. I put my provision on them when I put my name on my children. Now, I want you to understand, the moment you get saved, God puts His name on you too. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, that as many as received Him, Jesus, to them He gives the power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on His name. And what a glorious blessing it is for us to know that the security of this blessing, it is as secure as the fact that God has given us His very name. And what a blessing it is to be able to bear the name of God. And so you no longer have to wonder who you are. On your worst days, you're a child of God. On your best days, you're a child of God. And on every day in between, you are a child of God. Ephesians 2 verse 19 says, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." And this blessing is secured to us not only by the assurance of God, but the acceptance of God is what I should have said, but it is secured to us by the assurance of God, the assurance of God. Verse number 27, let's read the last part of verse 27 together. Let's read it out loud. "And I will bless them." And I will bless them. See, God Himself affirmed with a powerful promise, "I will do this. I will do this." He gives us every assurance in the world. The God who does not speak words that He does not bring to pass. is the one who said, I will bless my people. Numbers 23 and verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? Let me tell you something. This is a promise you can stake your life on. God will take care of you. God wants to bless your life, and you can rest with every confidence that God will always keep his word to you. And so, child of God, as you leave this place today, as you go out into your week, rest securely in the fact that you have a God who desires to bless you. You have a God who desires to take care of you. He is the Lord, Yahweh, the eternal, infinite God. He is that God is the source of your blessing. And he has shared this blessing with you through Jesus Christ and his finished work on your behalf. Jesus is even right now in heaven interceding this blessing upon your life today. And that should encourage your heart, because even when you don't feel like you deserve it, he's still there praying this blessing over your life. And the substance of this blessing is very rich. It is much, so much more than a mere material blessing. It is a spiritual blessing. God invites you into a relationship with him. He favors you. He smiles at you. His face is always looking towards you. His hand holds you up and he keeps you safe. This is an incredible blessing from God. And I want to challenge you as a child of God by faith to reach out and take hold of this incredible promise that God has given to you in his word. You say, Pastor, I don't feel like I deserve that. Well, you never did. God gives it to you because he loves you. God gives it to you because of your relationship with Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I'll say in closing that this blessing belongs to all those who call themselves the people of God. But that brings up the question, are you one of God's people? Are you a child of God today? See, God desires to give this blessing to all people, but this blessing is not universal. It is very specific. It is for the people who believe in the one true God, Yahweh, by faith in Jesus Christ. The truth is, if there's not been a day in your life when you have trusted Christ as your Savior, though God desires to bless you, he cannot. He must judge you. You don't have the blessing of God upon your life. You have the curse of God upon your life. But this is where the good news of the gospel comes in. Because even though, as a sinner, you deserve to be punished by God for all your sins, God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die in your place for your sins. And now, he has died and been buried and risen again, and he is in heaven and able to save anyone who comes to him in faith, accepting what he's done for them and receiving the forgiveness of their sins. The Bible tells us that if you desire to become one of God's people, you can do that. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse number 9 says that God calls you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You who in times past were not one of God's people are now called to become the very people of God. And God has made the way clear, so clear in the scriptures. John chapter 14 and verse 6. If you know it, say it with me. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You want to know how you can become a child of God? You want to know the way to become one of God's people? Jesus is the way. You can't do it yourself. You can't do it by your own self-effort. You'll never make it. But Jesus can do what you cannot do. He can save your soul, and he can make you a child of God if you will believe in him by faith to forgive you of your sins and become your Lord and Savior. And my prayer to God is that if you have never made that decision, today would be the day you trust Christ as your Savior. Let's bow our heads together. You want to know the way to the blessing? Jesus is the way. You want to know the way to a real relationship with God? Jesus is the way. If you're sitting here this morning and you say, Pastor Bruce, in my heart, I know that I need what you're talking about. I need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And God is speaking to my heart about this morning. I want to encourage you right there where you sit. You know you need the Lord. You may not know exactly how to respond, but you want Christ in your life. You want to be forgiven of your sin. You want to have this blessing that is described for us in the scripture. You can only get it through Jesus. And right now, the Bible says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you can be saved. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so right there where you're sitting, if God's speaking to your heart this morning, you know you need to trust Jesus as your Savior, I want to encourage you to whisper a prayer to the Lord in your heart, not out loud, but in your heart to the Lord. The prayer won't save you, but Jesus will save you if you call out to him. And you might say something like this to Jesus. Dear Jesus, I thank you for being such a good God. And I come to you this morning knowing that I am a sinner and I cannot save myself. I don't deserve your blessing, but I know that you came and died on the cross for my sins. And you were buried and you rose again. And right now I believe you're sitting in heaven and that you can save me. And so Jesus, I call out to you believing and trusting in you. Forgive me of all my sin and help me from this moment forward to live every day of my life for you, according to your word. Give me the courage to make my decision public. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Now, with all our heads bowed and all our eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Bruce, God spoke to my heart, and I've never done it before. Right now, I just prayed and asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I'll not call you out or embarrass you, but I'd like to rejoice with you. You say, Pastor Bruce, that's me. I just asked Jesus to be my Savior. I'd like to say that God spoke to my heart, and I did that this morning.